You are listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, where we have all of the best of Beaufort, Port Royal, and the Sea Islands. And today, I'm excited to announce that Daquan Mickens, who we've heard many times on this podcast, is going to be officially joining me as a co-host on here. And we're so excited to have him.
I'm glad to be a part of the team in the background, but now I'm fully ready to flourish as a co-host. And thank you, Natasha, for allowing me to, come in and, do my thing on the podcast and figure it out.
Yeah, we're excited. It's always been fun getting to work with you, and I think everyone will be just as excited as I am to have you here on the front end too now.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, to get us started, we're going to introduce our stakeholder highlight, which is Sean, who is the owner of SK Signs Designs and Marketing. You may recognize him from a previous episode where we got to interview him fully, but now we're just getting to highlight his business. Thanks for being here, Sean.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's awesome. So would you mind just giving us a quick overview of your business and how long you've been here working at it?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been in Beaufort for 24 years. My business has been around for 7 years. July 4th was our 7th year anniversary. And we do, as the name suggests, signs, designs, and then we do marketing. And we have some pretty big clients in the area. We do the town of Port Royal, the city of Beaufort. We work with Daquan and Rob Wells at the CVB, among some other pretty big clients. We have about 150 nationwide that we handle. And within that, we do a lot of digital marketing. And locally, we'll do a lot of photography and videography for some small businesses to help them get noticed and to help grow their bottom line.
That's awesome.
And I've gotten to know Sean a lot this past year, a year and a half. So if you could you tell us something like the passion and how you got into, the art that you do?
Yeah. So my past life, I was in the restaurant business for 23 years. And then I got my foot in the door with marketing that way from a corporate standpoint with the corporate headquarters in Oklahoma City. Once I left in 2014, we started, our first big client was the town of Port Royal with Van Willis. And from that, it just kind of grew to where it's at today. But the passion that I have for photography and videography has always been there. And just now I have the opportunity to be creative and to help a small business flourish from that. If I can offer them a low cost product with a high quality end result, then that's kind of my goal, what I like to do.
Yeah. And I know personally, Sean's one of the most hardworking people here in town. He's everywhere I can imagine. So he's definitely putting in the overtime, and it's more than just the work and for money. He cares about the businesses and growing the town.
I do. It's fun to be in one, to be in a small town, and then two, to be recognized. You're at the gas station, you're at the grocery store, you're at an event taking a photo, and I have a certain look. I'm 5'6". I have a beard that's probably 2 feet long.
It's a pretty epic beard.
It is. And so, of course, I stand out like a sore thumb, and so people do recognize me, and it's pretty unique to see that and have that experience with folks that I don't know them, but I see you everywhere is the quote that I get a lot. And we handle a lot of the festival events, photography and videography for that. And we're doing a lot of marketing for some of those. So we help promote those events if it's a 5K, if it's a festival. So I really enjoy what I do. It's definitely a lot of passion behind it. And I'm roughly 60, 65, 70 hours a week. And today is, quote unquote, my day off. First time in about 3 weeks that I've actually tried to physically take some time off.
Well, I'm glad that you could be here for this podcast with us for your day off.
I wouldn't miss it.
Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sean, for being here. And now we'll introduce our next guest, who is Jessica Mangano from Tabby Shore, who has been on here before. Thanks for being here with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys. This is exciting.
Of course, we love having you on here. You're such a fun person to talk to.
Oh, well, I'm excited. I love doing this. This is like way out of my realm. So it kind of helps me get out of the shop a little and come hang out with Daquan.
Which is always fun. We love it.
It's always good to be in the same room with Jessica. She has so much energy. And when I meet her at
after like our events and stuff, she's always so much energy and brightens up the day. So I'm always glad to have her on the podcast.
Yeah, she is a delight. We love her.
Y'all are so sweet. Y'all are making me blush. I know you can't see it, but I'm blushing.
There you go. Awesome. Well, Daquan, why don't you introduce what we're going to be talking about today with Jessica?
So today we're just going to have a conversation, you know, with it being a Beaufort podcast, and Beaufort located in the southeast of the United States. In South Carolina, we love our southern ways, and we like to think of the South never being wrong. So, and everybody else is wrong, the North, the West, as far as traditions go. So I think on this episode, we'll discuss some of those Southernisms. That way we can kind of get into what, for the people who are in the South listening, it kind of relates and hits home, and you can be like, oh yeah, that's a great, I remember that, or that is something I noticed about the South. But if you're listening from the North or the West, you can kind of get familiar with the South before heading to Beaufort. And I think that's a great introduction to what Beaufort is and that Southern hospitality.
I love how Daquan calls it Southernisms. That's like my new favorite phrase.
There you go.
What makes us Southern?
Yes.
It's perfect. Southernisms. It's good. I like it. Awesome. Well, what would you say is the first Southernism we want to talk about?
Yeah, where do we start? What's number one?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and lead us off, and I have a little story to go with it. So waving at strangers and neighbors as you pass them by. So I don't know if this is very common in Utah, Natasha. How common is it?
So Utah is known for being a pretty friendly state, but you actually like took the one that I was going to say, because it's like a different level of friendly. Like everyone in Utah will like smile and wave, but like when I was down in Beaufort, people would like stop and talk to you too. And I was like, this is new. Like I'm used to people just being like, hi. But no, it's like, hey, let me tell you about this one person that you have no idea who this is, but let me give you the tea, basically.
Daquan, I have this one on my list as well. So I'm kind of glad you brought it up. But it's like the dashboard wave, you know, like even in your car, you're holding the steering wheel and it's like a, you may pull over and roll down the window, but it's like a little flick of the hand wave.
So when I'm walking my dog, I kind of get on to my wife about this, and I'll be like, someone will wave and I'll wave, and she's like, oh, you get so excited to wave. And I'm like, yes, it's the South. That's what we do. We love to wave as people are driving past. And I have to be like, you didn't wave at this person. You have to wave. So I think that's always something I've grown up doing and something I love to do.
That's so fun.
One thing is my cousin, he came down from New York. I was born in New York and then came down South, grew up down here. So me and him were driving. I think I was in high school, and he was driving, and a guy was walking outside, and I waved to him. It's an older man. He was walking in the neighborhood. I think we were going to his dad's house, and the guy was walking past, and I waved to him, and he was like, do you know that guy? And I was like, no, it's just something we do down here.
Like habit.
Yeah. Like I don't know him, but I'll wave and he'll wave back to me. And it's something that represents the South as a whole.
It's just a courtesy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. It's good. You acknowledge people when you see them instead of ignoring them like you do in a lot of big cities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number two on my list kind of goes hand in hand with this a little bit. So my, the first one on my list, actually, second one in the podcast, would be manners in general. So yes, ma'am, no, sir, you know, Miss so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so. I still have, you know, even as like a woman, like in my professional career, I still have these moments where if I'm speaking with a colleague or I meet a new colleague, I still have the tendency to call them Miss Smith.
Yes.
Even though we could be very close in age, or like now that I am not a child anymore, it's just so ingrained in your like upbringing that you just don't want to be disrespectful. It's just a sign of respect. So even though I've heard sometimes it could be offensive to call someone a peer Miss or Mr. It's just, I think manners are just a huge thing that are imprinted on you in the South at a very young age. And they're hard to break. And when you move away from the South, correct me if I'm wrong, you move away from the South and those aren't always used. And it's a little bit of a culture shock. You have to like step back and say, okay, these people aren't being rude. It's just not how they were raised, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like a big one for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I use yes, ma'am, and no, sir, a lot. Even when they're, like I've noticed in the South, even if you're older than somebody, you might be called, or someone older than you might call you sir or ma'am. So I think that's definitely unique in the South. And continuing those manners, you're taught as kids, you say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But as you grow up and you're, you know, entering adult age, you kind of lose it in most areas except the South. But the South continues throughout all the way until you, you know, you're older.
That's what it is, isn't it? It's like as you get older, people drop off. Like they drop that off. But if I were to walk into my granny's kitchen and not say yes, ma'am, I'd get a talking to. Yes. You know, like I would be reminded.
I think it's a sign of respect from the South. Not even if you don't know the person, it's a respect thing to say, hey, yes, ma'am, no, sir. Even I'll go to the grocery store. And someone is like, oh, you want your receipt? Oh, no, ma'am, I don't. So I think it's just common courtesy to, I've said it to 16-year-old people in the store. So I think it's just a Southern thing. And I'm sure they get it all the time.
Yeah. Mind your manners. You're taught that at an early age.
I would definitely say that's a Southern thing. Like, I know growing up, we would say, like, kind of the, like, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, or, like, refer to people Mr., Mrs., whatever growing up, but like you said, it kind of fades out as we get older. But yeah, it definitely is something I feel like that sticks around. That was something I noticed too when I was down there. I was gonna say for mine, the driving, like everyone was going the speed limit, which you know is good, but let me tell you, if there's one thing about Utah, it's people love to go like 10 to 15 miles over the speed limit, especially on the freeway and highway.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's permanently running late. I don't know. But y'all were just like cruising along, like going the, like the exact speed limit. And I remember when I was there, I was running late from one place on my itinerary to the next. And I was like, why is no one moving? Like everyone was so slow. I was mildly stressed out. So...
And, you know, Beaufort is, like, notorious for 35 miles an hour.
And I think not only is that a different thing in the South, just Beaufort in the Low Country in general. I'm from upstate South Carolina, and it's go, go, go. So, and coming back to Beaufort, it's a slow, take-it-easy pace, even on the road. And sometimes it annoys me sometimes when I'm running late to work or if a lot of the times there's pedestrians walking and you had the right of way and you got to let the pedestrians walk sometimes, or this is synonymous with Beaufort in the South when people stop and they don't need to stop, but they let somebody get out of like jump into the line when you had to go ahead to go.
I do that all the time, Daquan. I would drive you crazy.
I do it a good bit. It just has to be the right moment for me. I'm not going to stop in the middle if I have a green light and I know, oh, well, if I miss this green light, I'll be here for another 10 minutes. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let somebody pass. But a lot of the times people will stop where they're doing to let somebody in to go ahead. And I do understand it happens to me sometimes too, where I'm just like, what's 10 seconds going to change? Not much. I can change this person's day by letting them go. And I think that's a South, another Southernism, and it represents Beaufort as a whole.
Yeah. I wish we had a little bit more of that up here. If I'm being honest, everyone's like, no, you can't get in front of me. This is my spot.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like, the South is like coined as being slower, but I love one of the phrases about Beaufort is like a lot of people will refer to Beaufort and the surrounding areas as the slow country because it is. It's like it's beachy, it's the sun shining, and you just want to just take it easy. I was born and raised in Mississippi, so even further south, but I'll tell you, it's a different way of life up here. It is just that go with the flow kind of pace. And it's what draws a lot of people our way, I think.
Yes.
Cool. Well, do you have another one, Daquan?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to hear your list because you did grow up a little bit in New York and then in the South. So you have like the mixed bag here.
Yes. So it is a mixed bag. And even from the top, like, so the upstate, I'm at the very tip top of South Carolina, borderline North Carolina. I can get into North Carolina within 30, 40 minutes. Okay. So, and then being in Beaufort, I'm at the very bottom of South Carolina, so I can get to Georgia, like the top of Georgia, in 30, 40 minutes. So it's even in, you can just see the huge difference from state, like top of state to bottom of the state, as far as Southernisms and how everything goes. But I tell you one thing that is a Southernism that represents South Carolina as a whole is when it snows. Here, I know it's completely different in Utah. So,
oh, yeah.
So here in not just Beaufort, but here in South Carolina, if there is a slight chance of snow, if the road might freeze, we're going to close down the schools. People are watching the schools the night before and seeing if there might be a chance of snow on if it closes. And it could not snow and school would still be closed.
I can remember as like being a kid. And there was a chance of snow. It was like an anticipation. Like we were like excited because it might be a snow day, which means it might snow.
Yes.
Not that we were going to get, you know, several feet of snow, but we just don't have the equipment down here. Mm-hmm. The snow plows and the salt machines.
Yeah.
Like it, we're just not cut out for it.
It's because you guys don't get it often.
Right.
But. Where I'm like over here, when I was going to school, like there'd be 4 feet of snow and they're like, you're still coming in. Like,
right.
Get your butt to school.
Yes.
You got high centered in snow. That sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah. So if it's just cold and there's a chance, sometimes there's a 2 hour delay and they'll be like, all right, we'll delay it for 2 hours, let it heat up. And then you guys can come into school. So that happened quite often,
mm-hmm.
But you know, since we don't get snow often, if it snows, another thing besides the schools that shut down, work and businesses tend to shut down a good bit. So 9 out of 10 times, if it snows, you're just like, oh, well, I'm not going into work today. And it happens
a lot. It's a work from home day or taking the day off.
Yeah, it's one of the two. And before, now that with COVID, everyone knows, okay, you can work from home. But when it would snow, it was, oh, it's a snow day. No work's getting done today.
Nothing's going to get done.
Yes.
It's not a work from home. It's more like, let's go play outside.
Yes.
Amazing.
And the city and the state all recognize it and participate in like, all right, we're shutting everything down pretty much unless you can't shut down.
There you go.
I wish I could show you some of my Southern snowmen that we made as kids growing up, you know, on these random snow days.
Oh
my
gosh, I would love
they're
that.
They're quite funny. They're mostly mud, but kind of snow.
I was going to say, we don't get as much snow as the rest of the country.
Mm-mm.
Here in
Beaufort. I was just going to say it.
But it's a couple inches. If it sticks, another funny thing is, even if it's not sticking, if it's coming down, we'll just be like, oh, no, that's it. Shut it down.
Nothing's happening today.
Yeah. So, and just to watch people run to the stores when there's a chance of snow, or if there's snow, people go and grab eggs and milk, which I never really understood grabbing eggs and milk from the store. If power ends up going out, what good is eggs and milk?
That's fair.
But
oh my gosh,
it goes into complete chaos when there's snow here.
Oh man, that's crazy. I can't even imagine.
Good thing it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, how often do you see this happening? Is it, like, maybe once a year? Is that too often?
That's being generous. I don't think it's snowed here in 2 years.
Yeah, I was about to say, we've been here now for going on 3 years in Beaufort, and I've not seen it snow since we've been here.
Yeah, I've been in Beaufort for 2 years, and I haven't seen snow. In the upstate, it happens more often in the upstate, South Carolina. It still might be once every year, maybe once every 2 years, if we're lucky.
Wow.
Yeah, so I cannot tell you the last time I've seen snow. I think I was in college maybe 3.5 years ago.
What a world to live in.
Yes. So right now, today, it's a little high 60s. So I'll take that over snow any day. Mm-hmm. I can't. We've talked about it in past episodes. I cannot do snow and cold weather.
Yeah.
It's miserable for me. But for people like Natasha who love the snow and love the cold weather, Buford in the South, it's not that.
You know what? It's okay. I still love to visit Buford, and it's still beautiful, even if you guys don't get snow.
I was going to say, I text my wife. I realized it was about to be 70 degrees Sunday, and I was like, we should go to the beach.
Yeah, right.
So
sandals and flip-flops, like all year long.
Yeah, it's the week before Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking about going to the beach. But once this comes out, it'd be at, the week of Thanksgiving, so...
Yeah.
It'll be nice weather here in Buford.
That's crazy. It's been pretty warm for us at this time of year. But that being said, it's like 50 degrees is like our high.
Okay.
So normally, a lot of times we'll actually have snow already at this time. This year we haven't gotten any yet. But
yeah.
I will say, though, we do have the crazy people here that will wear shorts and flip-flops year-round. My brother was one of them. He hates the cold, too. That's what's funny, is he would much rather be in a warm area, but he loves flip-flops so much that he would suck it up, even though he hates being cold, and wear flip-flops year-round. So Buford would honestly be ideal for him, probably.
Yeah, he would love it here.
Yeah. He lives in Texas now, so, you know, it's a little bit better. Until it had that weird frost storm last year.
Oh, yeah, that was awful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Jessica, do you have another Southernism that you want to add to the pot?
Yeah. So, okay, my next one, I don't know really what to call it. So, you know, the South, obviously, we get a lot of talk about our accents. I mean, you hear that all the time. It's like a Southern twang. But, like, something that always stands out to me or is pointed out to me when I'm meeting people for the first time or getting to know new friends are some of the Southern like idioms or like phrases that we use that until they're pointed out to me, I don't realize how strange they can be sometimes. So I had on my list, like just the Southern sayings. Probably some that I don't even know if y'all have ever heard of, but I had a couple of my favorites I wanted to share.
Yes, please.
So the first one that I use a lot that was, again, pointed out to me that people did not always know was the bottom fell out.
Yeah.
Like if it, do you know that one, Natasha?
I don't. I was just like trying to figure, I can make a guess as to what it means, but.
When the bottom falls out, you know, so I can remember the first time that was pointed out to me by a student I was teaching when I told him, oh gosh, I guess the bottom fell out. Talking about the rain falling, like, you know, like a heavy rain pour falling from the sky. So it's just like a phrase. I grew up hearing it all the time and never questioned. I just kind of knew what it meant. I guess you do as a kid, like you just kind of like pick up on what these things mean.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I can remember saying that to a student I taught here in South Carolina, and they were like, what does that mean? What do you mean the bottom? What bottom? You know, like a bucket? I don't know what they were thinking in their head, but
yeah,
so yeah, it's raining. It's raining outside. Really hard. Another one that I say all the time, and I don't know why. And then it sounds kind of cheesy saying it like this, not in real conversation, but heavens to Betsy.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one.
Yeah.
And I have no idea where it comes from. I don't know. But I'm like, gosh, heavens to Betsy. And like, darn it.
I think that one's a classic. It's become more universal. A lot of people have heard it on TV or especially when representing the South.
Yes.
But it's definitely a Southern thing that I've heard multiple times.
And so my husband thinks it's funny. He'll even say, who's Betsy?
Yeah. Like, no one knows who Betsy is, but
I don't know.
Everyone says heavens to Betsy.
Heavens to Betsy. So that's a popular one. And then the third one that, I mean, you know, you have your bless her heart, it and things like that. But the third one that I can remember a lot from my upbringing is can't, never could. Have y'all heard that before?
I actually have heard that one, but it's because my cousins grew up in, or like spend a good chunk of their time in like Tennessee and in North Carolina, I think. So that's why I've heard it is because of them, not because of any other reason.
Yeah, it's basically a phrase that just, I can remember if you're complaining about something or like, oh, you know, I can't, you know, as a kid, I can remember adults always saying, can't, never could, like, yeah, get over it, you know, buckle down, get it done, quit complaining. So yeah, those are some of my favorites. Do you have any big ones that stick out to you?
One that sticks out to me, I'm sure everyone has heard this one, but when people say, like, hold your horses, it's a Southern thing. I think we hear it a lot, but just hold on. I think it's more words that stick out to me more than phrases. If I was saying, oh, grab that buggy, versus if someone was to say buggy versus
a shopping
cart or grocery.
A buggy. Yeah,
they buggy. Say a buggy. I don't know where that actual term came from. Or a lot of people say the clicker. Or instead of people saying, like, oh, can you mash that? If you're saying, oh, can you push that button, like elevator button or something, they say mash that. Or
mash, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah,
those
I
are
think
good.
There's a lot of, it's more words that represent something else when you talk about the South more than the phrases. But the phrases always get me because you're always like, huh? So,
my dad is like the king of Southern idioms.
Yes.
He has a bunch. I can't share them on here, unfortunately, but he has a bunch of really colorful phrases that I'm like, where does that even come from? You know, but the words are good. I'm sure there are a bunch of other ones that we use that some people, you know, they just catch on to when they move this way or they visit the South.
I love it.
I think a phrase that I just thought of is when you ask somebody to do something, or you ask somebody something.
Do what now?
Yeah, and they didn't hear you. And yes, and they'll say, do what now? And we're like, no, I didn't say do something. I just was saying something to you.
Oh my gosh, Daquan, that is hilarious that you brought that up because I say that all the time. And it wasn't until I did some work in England. Mm-hmm. And it was really confusing when I would say, do what now? And they would turn, I didn't ask you to do anything. And I'm like, no, I just mean, what'd you say?
Yes. In the South, it's so easy to catch on with certain things. And I'm sure it's like that with different areas where you go. Northern people have their kind of sayings and words that they know versus people from the West. So it's just funny how we compare the South. And even sometimes in the South, you can get lost.
Yeah.
It's fair. Yeah, I was just trying to think of like any good Utah idioms, and I know there are some, but I'm blanking. But all I can think about is like, we'll say words weird, and people are like, wait, please say that again. So like mountain, we'll say mountain. Like we drop T's all the time.
Yeah.
And like crick instead of creek.
Yeah. And we tend to add syllables.
Yes, we
like
do.
When we say listen, you know, like when, you know, adding like all these extra or why.
Yeah.
It's like, let me throw in three other vowels in here.
Right.
Yes, that's the South for you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
A lot of drawn out type of words kind of to resemble the drawn out lifestyle we have down here.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. My dad's favorite story actually from like his early 20s is he was living in California, and he had a coworker of sorts that was from Alabama, and they would go door to door, right, with what they were doing. And every time they would like knock on a door, his coworker from Alabama would just be like, I'm so and so from Alabama. Like, my dad obviously was exaggerating it, but in California, everyone talks really fast. So they would like shut the door on their faces before he could even finish a sentence because he's like, you're taking too long. He was just like, I'm done.
Yep.
But so it's definitely more of a Southern thing to talk, I feel like, slower.
I was going to say, the way you talk represents the lifestyle you're from. New York is quick, Chicago, those type of places, they're quick, choppy. They get it out, get to the point with what they have to say.
Right.
Just got to learn to slow down, take a beat, and
Yes.
It's so true. That's awesome. Well, I think this has been a really fun episode. I have enjoyed hearing some of these idioms that I've never heard before and just kind of comparing what it's like in the South versus, you know, over here on the West.
Yes.
It's kind of fun.
And I think it's fun also getting that output of like someone not in the South to kind of see the difference as well.
Right.
To kind of compare or say, oh, I have heard this, I haven't heard that, and see how mm-hmm. far Southern words and idioms and sayings go right. across the country.
Yeah, it's fun because I've been here my whole life, born and raised and in the South. And to hear, you know, Natasha point out things or, you know, even you, Daquan, I'm like, oh, because they seem so common to me that I
yes.
don't think of them as different or unique.
Right.
So it's kind of funny to hear what you have to say as well.
No, it's fun. I actually am very curious about how that culture shock was when you were in England, honestly.
Let's that's just be quite honest. Different. They didn't learn much that school year because we took most of the time learning each other.
There you
each
go.
Other's languages. It was hard to, it took a yeah. while to catch on, but it was fun. Lots of fun.
I bet. I was just thinking about it because I was like, they have a lot of their own things that they say.
Oh,
and
yes.
then you guys in the South have. So I was just like, that's almost like two separate languages. Like you're both like, you're not speaking English.
Right.
I don't know what you're saying, but that is not English.
It was a lot of fun. That's all I'll say. It was a lot of fun. The kids were great and they were patient and I had to be patient with them. So
yeah, I think that's good that not only did you. You might not have learned the curricular stuff you were supposed to, but you learned culture.
Yeah,
right.
So for both
lots of
you,
cultural education, yeah.
It's important. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us, Jessica. It was so fun
yeah.
to have you on again.
Yes.
Anytime. I love doing this.
We love having you.
Yes, this is fun.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, before we head off, Daquan, is there anything that we should know that's coming up in BFER or that we should be looking forward to?
Yes, so I'll share some of the events with this week being Thanksgiving. I first want to say I hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving and can eat a lot of turkey, grow fat, just like me.
Yes. Love it. You're not fat, but okay.
But Thanksgiving is definitely my favorite holiday because I can just eat and I don't feel judged for eating a ton of food. So, but other than Thanksgiving, you know, typically, the day that follows Thanksgiving is Black Friday, where you can get a whole bunch of deals and sales. But here in Beaufort, we celebrate that Saturday, a Small Business Saturday, where a lot of people like to shop on Amazon and
right.
Walmart and all these big brands who gets a ton of money. We like to give back to the community and, you know, show our small businesses that we care and kind of get gifts and stuff for the holidays. From the shops around town here in Beaufort, I think it's a good way to give back to the community and show everybody we're one community.
Oh, definitely.
And then we do have a night on the town, December 3rd. It's a great way to get out and kind of celebrate the full Christmas spirit here in Beaufort. We light the tree. We have the parade that goes on. It's a great event. That way everyone can, there's entertainment, dining, food, shopping. It's just a great way to get out and experience the Beaufort holiday. And if you haven't been to Beaufort during the holidays, that's the time to come. We love the holidays here in Beaufort. And then also, the last episode, we talked about the Gullah Kinfolk Christmas. If you guys can go back and listen to that episode. Anita is amazing when she does
yes,
her
she
Aunt
is.
Pearly Sue. And if you loved Aunt Pearly Sue in that episode, you would really love the Gullah Kinfolk Christmas wish. It's a great experience, a great way to get the Gullah Kinfolk traditions and what the Gullah people do, the songs that they sing, the acts that they put on. It's really immersive. And we really enjoy that. It's a great way to get involved. So, and that's just a little bit to get started with the holiday season. It's officially here with Thanksgiving. So I'm excited. And, you know, we love the holidays here in Beaufort.
No, I love it. Awesome. Thanks, Daquan. Also, you mentioned Thanksgiving and it made me wonder does a typical Thanksgiving look like down in Beaufort, because I'm curious if like the food is the same or if there's like any unique traditions there that are different.
I'm sure there's unique traditions everywhere, and every family has their own unique
That's true.
thing. when I was researching some of the Southernisms, I did learn everything in the South can be fried. So
that's true.
I don't know, Natasha, have you ever had fried Oreos?
I've heard of them, but I've never tried one.
Yeah. Oh.
Or fried green beans.
Yes.
I have had fried green beans.
Yeah.
Yes. So I did. During researching, I didn't know there was fried chicken noodle soup.
I didn't either.
They put it on a stick. It's really unique, but that's the South for you. Unique and frying anything and everything.
Well, but, there you
so
go.
I'm sure people do fried everything for Thanksgiving. You have your traditional macaroni, collard greens. You have turkey, ham.
All casseroles.
Yes, and that's a big thing in the South is the casseroles. I think okay. You have green bean casserole.
Broccoli casserole.
Yes.
Sweet potato.
Yeah, sweet potato casserole. There's so many different casseroles. Potato casserole. So there's so many different things.
And that's awesome.
We love each and every one of them. So.
Yeah, casseroles are pretty big in Utah as well. But I will say, you did say two things that are definitely not in most Western Thanksgivings. And that's collard greens and mac and cheese.
Yes. I have to have mac and cheese for Thanksgiving. It's we tend to do it large. You guys do sweet potato, like sweet potato pies and...
Yeah, sweet potatoes definitely make an appearance. But I was I'm very intrigued by the mac and cheese, and now I want mac and cheese with my Thanksgiving.
Yes. Do you guys do like cranberry sauce? And
yep.
Okay. For the most part, it's about the same, but yes, we try to throw as much different fixings. I don't know if you guys say fixings as sides. That's another Southern word. Be like, you got the fixings with that. So I think the fixings, the sides to the main course meals is definitely the big part of Thanksgiving in the South.
Perfect. Well, I think this is a great place for us to wrap up. Hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and follow, and we'll talk to you all next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Natasha Lai, produced by Relic.